Was Teach Me, Lord, to Wait by singers from Harding University.
This morning, I would like for us to look into the subject of the devil. And the reason why is, first of all, that there are a lot of people out there who seems to look at the devil nowadays as sort of a boogeyman type figure. The idea is that the devil is not so much a real and living being as he is something intended either to scare children or to simply intimidate people into doing what they ought to be doing to begin with. However, this view is simply not correct from the Bible. The devil is both personal, and the devil is given particular names from the Bible. He is described in detail, and his power, his deceptions, and his ultimate end are also foretold in the Scripture, and all of these things are good for us to study on. So let's get right down to it. In looking at the subject of the devil, then I can remember a song that I used to listen to. It was by the Rolling Stones. And it was entitled Sympathy for the Devil. Part of the phrases or words in it said something like, "Pleased to meet you, hope you guess my name, just hustling you is the nature of my game," something like that. And the song was not so much meant to encourage the devil on people as it was a description of him. Well, as far as it goes, that description is more or less accurate, you might say, and the devil has been behind every evil work as the originator of it which has ever occurred on the face of this earth. Now you say, what do you mean the devil's behind it all? He can't be everywhere like God, can he? Well, no, I'm not saying that at all. The devil cannot be everywhere like God. But the devil can and does exercise his influence so that people serve his will and are his agents, whether they realize it or not. They are doing what he wants them to do and causing all kinds of misery in this earth, and he's the one that got the whole ball rolling. From the very beginning, the devil tempted Eve, and so he got everything started so that people understood the way of evil, and with the great knowledge of evil comes along guilt and every kind of foreboding and looking forward to, you're not looking forward to it, you're actually trying to avoid the judgment of God, though it is coming surely upon all those who would serve him. So he started it all. The devil is behind it. Now the Scripture gives all kinds of names for the devil. People talk about Satan and Beelzebub. These are descriptions which are kind of like proper names. The Bible talks about the prince of this world. Why would the Bible call the devil the prince of this world? Well, it would do so because the devil has sway or control over different people in this world. John talked about in 1 John, how that we know that we are children of God, or that we know God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, the world lying in wickedness knows its own ruler, and that means that they are serving him in one way or another. He is their prince, the prince of this world. The devil is just called that, the devil. Diablos, he is a deceiver, and he is someone who is against us, and he is someone who tries to destroy us, destroy our souls, which I'll have more to say about shortly. And he is also called the serpent. This reminds us of the original instance of temptation that I've already alluded to in the Garden of Eden, and this original temptation from the devil against everyone who would serve him or follow after him shows that he is a snake in the grass, as we would say. And that description given of him is entirely appropriate. So, who is he? Where did he come from? As we read in the Bible, in John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said to some Jews there, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Let's pick this apart. He says, "You Jews have as your father the devil." Now, they weren't literal devil worshipers. They didn't belong to the church of Satan. They didn't go around with their own little satanic Bibles. They didn't know what it was that they were doing. But Jesus points out they were doing it nonetheless. This is the devil's way. People who do not realize they're serving him follow in his path. One time Jesus was talking to the Apostle Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, the reason he said that was because Peter was trying to convince Jesus to do something he ought not to do. Even though Peter didn't know he was being a temptation to our Lord, still, the fact is that when people are doing what they ought not to do, they are in service unto the devil, whether they realize it or not. So these Jews Jesus is talking to, he says, "You're of your father the devil. The lusts of your father you will do." Now, him being a murderer from the beginning and abiding not in the truth is because it says there is no truth in him. At some time in the past, in time, you know, that we don't know how to reckon perhaps, there was an opportunity among God's creatures to serve or not serve him, at which time the devil must have made the choice not to do so. Whatever kind of spiritual being he is or was created, he is the original liar. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own, Jesus says, for he is a liar and the father of it. He originally decided to make some sort of deception to stray from the right path, and forever has gone and forever will go down that path to destruction. God will gain victory over him. Now, he is someone to be reckoned with, the devil. But he cannot compare to the ultimate victory which is obtained through Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in the words of his gospel, has warned us about following him as the father of all liars, John 8, verse 44. Other passages in the New Testament give us some hints about things concerning Satan. Some people believe in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, when the Bible says that Jesus said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven," that Jesus was making a statement concerning the origin of the devil. Well, I don't know if Jesus is trying to make there a statement so much concerning the origin of the devil as he is making a statement which does actually say something about the devil in passing. What does it say about him? Well, it indicates, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall." Satan's ways will not last. Just as Satan could not abide in the righteous presence of God and still be a faithful servant of God and be a liar as he is and was, so he had to fall. And if people will not serve God today, then they are servants of Satan, and they will also fall with him. We will not be allowed in heaven forevermore, and will have a place which is also reserved for the devil and his angels, which is hell itself, if we do not obey the gospel and stay faithful to it. So once again, Luke chapter 10, verse 18, gives us in passing a little statement concerning Satan himself. Also, we have Jude chapter 1 and verse 6. An interesting thing here is where it says, "The angels which kept not their first estate." This is why we say that in the original times, people talk about good angels or bad angels, and we talk about the devil and his angels. Well, these spiritual beings, they weren't created from the get-go as people, or not people, but as beings without any kind of choice or any kind of direction in which to go. They were either going to serve God or not, just like we are. And they had already made up their minds. We're not going to serve God. So the devil has his angels or spiritual beings that have also decided not to serve God. And they did not keep their first estate, the Bible says in Jude 1, verse 6. So in this book of Jude, in verse 6, it says they left their own habitation. And he is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Thus these evil angels are preserved by God to the time in which he shall make all things revealed and known in the judgment of the Lord, which I'll allude to a little bit later on. Now, as far as the nature of the devil himself goes, I want us to go beyond that now and talk a little bit about the power that he exerts upon the world. The whole world lies in wickedness, John points out. What about this world? Well, the devil works in it, in this world, through his works, through his ministers and his angels. The devil is not, of course, anything like God. God's power is infinitely above his. Therefore, if the devil is going to exercise an influence, it must be by virtue of getting other people to do his bidding. The devil cannot be both here and somewhere else all the way across the world at the same time, but he can be as far as by proxy goes. He can have somebody else go and serve him over there while he is concentrating on tempting and doing whatever he can to get other people to follow after him in a different area. So he works through his ministers and his angels. His power, however, is limited. It is limited by the Almighty himself, who, even though gives us freedom of choice, says that the devil cannot do something to us that we are not in agreement with. Now, that doesn't mean you can't suffer by virtue of what the devil does. It just means that the devil cannot say, well, all right, now you're mine, and you're going to go down and end up in hell just because I decided it. Well, no, 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 you have to be in agreement with the devil. The devil said unto him in Luke chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, all this power will I give thee in the glory of men, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. What the devil means here is when he was speaking to Jesus and trying to tempt him, I have been given great power, and it'll be for whoever it is that I give it to, as if he was the one who is making all the decisions and that he is the one that knows the end of them. But Jesus, of course, rejected this. The devil said, if thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. But of course, the Lord pointed out that the Lord our God is the only one that we should worship and refused the devil. Now, in the end, who's going to win out? Well, that shows you that the devil is being a liar right there. If Jesus had received the accolades of the devil and of evil people, how long would that last? Certainly not forever, because in the end, the victory and the righteousness and the judgment and the vengeance of God will be wreaked out upon all of those who will not serve him, and all of those who are willing to serve God and stay faithful unto him will receive the victory through Jesus Christ, who rejected the temptation of the devil here in Luke chapter 4. Now, there is another statement in the Bible about the power of the devil, even though he is in possession of a certain kind of power, even though he does have the power to tempt, even as he tempted the only begotten Son of God. It points out that this temptation continues into the present day. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, as I say that, once again, I go back to the modern-day idea that the devil is not some personal being, but is just like something you scare little children with, the idea of the monster under the bed or the boogeyman, and he's coming to get you. But the devil is a personal being. Having fallen to temptation himself, by temptation I mean the originator of it, having fallen to do whatever he desired, his own will instead of God's will, he now seeks other people to do the same. Why would the devil do that? Well, he's just basic evil. He is the ultimate in evil that any of us can consider. I want you to consider this too about it. I don't know how much the devil realized when Jesus was being crucified about his ultimate end. Perhaps he thought that he could thwart the ways of God by having Jesus crucified. Now, I know that's just kind of some philosophical speak. That isn't anything I can point to a certain passage of the Bible and prove. But he was behind that and was there at the crucifixion of Christ. He is the one goading on those Roman soldiers. He is the one stirring up the Jewish crowd who cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And so the devil there perhaps thought he was accomplishing something. Well, what does he hope to accomplish today? If the devil cannot get into heaven, the only thing left for evil, other than just suffering because it is evil, is to add company to its misery. The devil wants as many souls as he can get to go with him and to be with him. Now, I know this isn't going to really accomplish anything in the long while, but the devil perhaps thinks that it will. Therefore, when you read in the Bible, you say he is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants people to follow after him and be like him, even though that will take them down to the same place that he will ultimately be in. I don't know what he thinks he can accomplish by that, but he desires it for the sake of having others to be in his number, to be in his kingdom. Perhaps it gives him a sense of purpose and that he is actually thwarting God in some way. But the Lord has revealed unto us, and his word is true, that there will be a time and a day when all the evil you see around you, when all the wars that you see existing because of the works of evil men, when all of the sorrowful pain and tears that are shed day in and day out because of the works of the devil that you see proliferating all around us, there's going to be a time in which God says, enough, I'm not going to have any more of it. I am going to crush the head of Satan, and I'm going to do it through my son, Jesus Christ. So, if we know that, and we do, then we see that the devil, even though he works through his ministers and angels, even though he has a certain amount of power, yes, and can tempt, even the Son of God he tempted, still he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but he cannot take us without our consent. We must agree with the devil before we'll end up in the place where he is. The sad thing about it is that the devil is such a deceiver that many people don't realize they're following him. Just like those Jews in John chapter 8 that I was talking about. They didn't know. They had in their mind perhaps that they were even being righteous. But instead they were being self-righteous. They had in mind that they were being, you know, real loyal to Moses, when in fact they were being disloyal unto God who made Moses. So Satan is like that. He works through this kind of deception so you don't even realize you're following him. The only way we can be sure we're standing on firm ground and that we're preparing our souls for heaven instead of a hell for the devil and his angels and to be there with them is for us to follow the Bible itself, the Word of God. If you have book, chapter, and verse for what you're doing, don't be afraid. If you don't, then there is good reason to fear because you're not serving the Lord and God will call that into account. Satan is like a stalker. I want to describe him in different ways for you now. He is walking about seeking whom he may devour, and Satan as a stalker. I want to read to you a passage out of the book of Job and see if we can understand that. The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now you would think in that description that old Satan wasn't up to anything. Why, he's just walking on around. Why, all just a pure picture of innocence, you know. He's not up to doing anything at all. Well, he certainly is. It doesn't matter how he answered the Lord in this place when he said going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down in it. We already know from what the Apostle Peter was told that he is that roaring lion walking about, yes, but he is seeking whom he may devour. Oh, he couldn't stand it that Job was a righteous man. He wanted to destroy everything about Job and everything that stood for Job because it torments him. It causes him to see in what a wretched state he is, and all the evil that is destined to come upon him because he would not serve God himself. Satan is a stalker, and he wants to bring other people down to the perdition that he is doomed to. Well, Satan is also a traitor. You remember in the New Testament that Judas Iscariot, who betrayed our Lord, he let Satan enter into his heart, John 13, verse 27. The Satan traitor that we all know from the Scriptures is the same Satan at work in the world today. He causes people to turn their backs upon others. He causes good friends to split up their friendships because of the wrongs that people will do in violation of privacy or of their friendship and oaths. Satan is a traitor. And as a backstabber, he encourages everybody else to do the same kind of thing. He entered into that treacherous Judas's heart. And having entered into Judas was going to betray our Lord. Not because Judas wasn't, evil before then. He already was a thief and carried the purse for the apostles. The Bible points that out. But at that time when Satan entered into his heart, Judas had made up his mind to perform the ultimate betrayal in giving up our Lord Jesus Christ to those authorities to be taken forth and cruelly crucified on that tree. It's amazing what the devil can cause people to do. Well, anyway, this same Satan who causes people to be treacherous also causes them to be a liar because he is the father of it. Remember what he told Eve? Thou shalt not surely die. Well, that was the only thing he really changed from what God said. God said unto Eve that you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil of that tree, you shall not eat of it. In the day that you do, thou shalt surely die. The devil just put one word in there. He said, thou shalt not surely die. Now, what was the result of that? The fall of all mankind. We must say exactly what God says. It amazes me that so many people don't want to say exactly what God says. If you want to be an honest, truthful person, then do not add or take away from God's words. It's as simple as that. If God said, for example, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, who am I to say he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved? That's all the devil added was that one little word not, but it sure changed things, didn't it? And that's what people try to add, that little word not. And in rejection of God's will, they find themselves in league with Satan. He is a liar, the father of liars, causing innocents to go to jail and to suffer, causing mothers to cry and causing all kinds of hurt in the world today, causing disease and all kinds of problems that people are fighting constantly because of the devil. Our aim should be to fight him with every bit and fiber of our being. He is a coward who says, I'll do it, and doesn't do it. He is the coward who says, I didn't do it, when he did do it. He is, as the Bible describes him, the ultimate serpent, irredeemable, who is headed for hell and cannot be changed in his course. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This fire that God has prepared for the devil and his angels will divide the wicked from the righteous. Just as in the days of Noah, the flood waters divided that unholy world from Noah and his family, and they were saved by water, and that world washed away. So God also has a time in which he will ultimately separate all the righteous who have served him and obeyed his gospel, and he will cause in the fires of hell all the wicked who have not served him and have served hatred and jealousy to be divided. The devil himself is a divider, and in that great day of division, God will be vindicated, and God will be shown just, and the devil will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil himself will be tormented, because he himself is a tormentor. Those possessed of devils that you read about in the Bible, think about the suffering that those poor people went through. Those who do his work are possessed of him in a manner of speaking today, and they may not even realize it. He destroys their souls. Is there an accident that people look and they say, oh, that's just awful that it happened? Recently, we hear on the news and one thing after another occurs and you're like, oh, it's just awful. I wish I'd never even heard that. It's just terrible to think about. Well, you can be sure the devil's behind it. He's behind all those kinds of things. Now, I'm not saying they aren't accidents. I'm just saying that the devil enjoys that. It's what makes him tick. Has an evil man done something to cause other people to suffer? Devil's behind him. He is the one that instigated it from the very beginning with the lie that he told Eve. He is the one who encourages it, and he is the only one who finds ultimate joy, if there can be joy in the devil, to have such a thing occur. But both the devil, his angels, and the works of those evil people and their souls will all be taken care of by God in due time. Just wait. Is there a disease? Is there a sudden illness that overtakes someone? Some awful thing like either cancer or a sudden stroke or whatever it is that may occur, which radically changes our lives for the worst, you can be sure the devil's behind it. He doesn't want a place of health. He doesn't want a place of happiness. The devil wants sorrow because that's what he knows. The devil wants evil because that's all that he is. And this devil, when Jesus returns, if he should return today, will find out, along with all of those who have served other people, who have served man and all of his evil works, then he will find out in all of them who is the ultimate victor in this great fight. The ultimate victory is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. When Jesus comes back, there are many things that the Bible tells us he will do. And the book of Revelation is a great describer for us of all the things about Jesus that will give us victory in him over the devil. I want us to look at a few passages in Revelation to finish out this morning. First of all, Revelation chapter 20, in verses 10 through 15. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Where did I tell you they'd end up? You see, it's right there, Revelation 20, verse 10. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, the Bible says, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, the small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the ultimate end for the devil. This is the ultimate end for his angels and all those who would serve him. Therefore, let us fiercely resist him, and he will flee, because he cannot stand the works of righteousness. He cannot stand the face of Jesus Christ seen in his child as we serve him faithfully. In Revelation chapter 21, we pick up with this again, beginning at verse 1. It is here said by John that I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's what we look forward to as the children of God. Through Jesus Christ, we shall attain victory. And I am persuaded that in the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, we are serving God sincerely, resisting the devil, doing all that we can to get there. And we would like for you to come and to study on God's Word with us so that we can get there together. If there's any way that we can assist you in studying God's Word, either by coming and meeting us and seeing our worship and listening then, or by meeting with us before or after, or in one of our homes or in your home, or by writing to us at P.O. Box 266, Tompkinsville, Kentucky, 42167. In whatever way we can help you, it is our desire to serve God and spread the truth of Jesus Christ wherever it is that we are and wherever it is that we may go. The devil may not like it, and I know he doesn't like it, but it's going to be done, and there's going to be a great host of people there in heaven for those who have served him and loved him even unto death. Thank you for listening this morning. Won't you tune in again next week? Same time, same radio station, and we'll have another message from God's Word. I'm Tim McHenry.